A mixed message.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. It's the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A jobless report that looks good on the outside but isn't as sweet as you may think. Investors don't seem to like it either. So where's Wall Street? Wall Street's down. The S&P 500 down more than 1% at this hour, with the NASDAQ down nearly 1%, and the Dow right now down about 1.33%. 109 points right now. European shares are lower, too. The FTSE's been tanking on word that ratings agency S&P lowered the UK's rating from stable to negative, the fifth European country to get the downgrade. Asian markets closed lower today as well. Let's bring in Bill Stone right now, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management, joining us live from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So we have this jobless claims report today from last week, down to 631,000. It shrunk by about 12,000. But that continuing claims figure keeps going up and up. It's inching closer to what, 6.7 million now?
It is getting there, yeah.
Yeah. Compared to expectations, Bill, what do these numbers, these new numbers tell us?
Well, I think it's a reflection of, unfortunately, the some of the shutdowns at Chrysler. And I think a lot of the concerns is, as we've seen this continue to grow, is that it may, in fact, continue to grow even more given what's likely to happen at GM. So that's really putting some upward pressure on, unfortunately, future claims.
Do you see any positive significance going forward into, say, the second quarter? I mean, yeah, the number's a little lower, but those continuing claims, they're brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know that the job side of things is tends to be the last thing to turn around. You know, companies are apt to continue cutting even after really the economy has turned. So that's, you know, I guess the positive is that we know it's one of the later things to happen. The other positive is if you get these auto shutdowns, you know, out of the way, then you should see some sort of snap back down. The problem is we just don't know how long exactly the shutdowns last, and, you know, they want to do an expedited bankruptcy, but, you know, no one really knows what that means.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Well, Bill Stone, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management, joining us live from Philadelphia this morning. They've gotten money before, and the Treasury could be giving it billions more. Reports this morning are a deal could happen as early as today to help troubled GMAC. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
GMAC already received $5 billion from the government back in December. Now the Detroit News and other papers are reporting that the Treasury Department will loan the company at least $7 billion more. Chris Whalen at Institutional Risk Analytics says the government should have let GMAC fail.
You've got to get the weak competitors out of the market. That's how you help the righteous bank survive and grow.
Whalen says the reason GMAC wasn't liquidated is because it's the only financing vehicle for GM and now Chrysler. The government ordered GMAC to also extend financing services to bankrupt Chrysler and its dealers. But what could save those companies could put Ford at risk. Peter DiLorenzo is with AutoExtremist.com.
The government is setting up a situation where GM and Chrysler dealers will be able to offer tremendous financing that Ford won't be able to match. And it's really not right.
Especially since Ford has so far turned down government bailout money. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Sony today said it plans on cutting its number of suppliers in half, and it'll centralize the way it negotiates contracts with them. And the world's fourth biggest computer maker, Lenovo Group, said today it lost money for the second quarter in a row.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. American Public Media and Marketplace present Hard Times in Middletown, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The first time ever, the House Energy and Commerce Committee is likely to approve a climate bill that's made it to the floor of Congress. There's been a lot of debate about this bill, and some of the fiercest battles aren't between politicians, but among businesses and the trade groups that lobby for them. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
A TV ad running this week features Duke Energy CEO Jim Rogers endorsing a mandatory limit on greenhouse gases.
Why would they head of one of America's largest coal-burning utilities support a cap on carbon emissions. Because America has to start making smart choices.
Roger's message is the opposite of what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is saying. The world's largest business group claims capping emissions would cause energy shortages and higher prices. What's noteworthy here is that Rogers holds a seat on the Chamber of Commerce's board, as do many other prominent supporters of climate change legislation. That's led Peter Altman with the Natural Resources Defense Council to pose this question.
Who is the chamber really representing here?
Altman researched the Chamber of Commerce board members' positions on climate change legislation. And out of the group of businesses that have publicly stated their positions, 19 favored federal action and only 4 opposed it. And 3 of those 4 are coal mining companies.
The staff seem to be freelancing on the agenda of just a few of their members and not adequately representing where the majority of the members of their board that have got a position on climate change really find themselves.
In recent weeks, companies like Nike and Johnson & Johnson have publicly criticized the chamber for not reflecting their views. But the chamber's head of government affairs, Bruce Jostin, says member disagreements are nothing new.
Do I have a diversity of viewpoints in the membership of the United States Chamber of Commerce? Yes. Let me be perfectly clear. On every issue that comes before the Congress of the United States.
But the issue of climate change is different. James Thurber heads American University's Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies.
This is major in terms of its impact upon the economy and upon the way you extract and use energy. And so, therefore, it is major in terms of the stress upon certain interests.
Thurber says forming business coalitions is the easy part. The challenge is maintaining them, especially when limits on greenhouse gas emissions threaten to hurt some industries and some regions a lot more than others. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Hey, check out our website, marketplace.org. The Scratchpad is there with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside our website. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.